The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, I just wanted to let everybody know that next week there will be no shows because my ass will be on vacation. I'll be living it up in Disneyland. And yes, you may be asking yourself, didn't this bitch already go to Disneyland earlier this year? Yes, I fucking did, and I'm going right on back. So suck my motherfucking dick because I love Disneyland. So that is where I will be all next week. I'll be back doing shows again on Monday, October 28th. That is when we will be back. But today's going to be the last show for the next week. All right, so let's get started into Thursday Night Football, which, gotta say, was a pretty big snooze fest. Not really shocking though, just because, you know, the Saints, they are one beat-up team. I mean, I didn't even realize how bad their injuries were until I was watching the game last night. You know, I knew Carr was injured. I knew they lost a couple of receivers earlier in the week. But, like, this team is pretty much the second-team squad. Pretty much every player on the team is their backup. So that was pretty pathetic to see. So we knew we were not going to get very good play. Gotta say... I think this is the first Denver Broncos game I watched this season. I believe so. Yeah, I'm almost 100% positive. That is the first Denver Broncos game I've watched this season. And, you know, Bo Nix, he's got some work to do. You know, he can make some decent plays, but there are some plays. You look at him, you're like, dude, that guy was wide open. I'm pretty sure even my fucking bitch ass could have made that pass, but, you know, whatever. But still, he was able to lock it down. But I got to say, man, this was some very sloppy football to watch. And, I mean, really the only standout last night from the game was running back Javonte Williams of the Denver Broncos. He scored a couple of touchdowns. But the Broncos did get a big win, 33-10. It was all Broncos all night for sure. But it was mostly their field goal kicker getting all the work done yesterday. So yeah, it just was not going to be a good game just because, I mean, the Saints, whoa. And they lost another player yesterday. I mean, we had us a huge fucking leg injury. Dude busts his femur. It wasn't as bad as Aiden Hutchinson's injury, but, like, it was pretty bad. I saw the replay on Twitter, and you could pretty much see the guy's leg poking out. Now, granted, he had pads and shit covering it up, but, like, you could tell that looked pretty bad. So, yeah, I mean, the Saints' injuries are that bad. So, not a very fun game to watch. As a matter of fact, I mostly was watching the Yankees-Cleveland Guardians game, which we will get into. But holy shit, if you are a baseball fan, a game last night was excellent. But you know what? We're going to talk about Week 7 before we get into that excellent baseball game. So, let's get into Week 7 of the NFL and see what else we got going on. Hopefully, we get us some better games than what we had last night. But let's get into the head-to-head matchup between my homie Simon Ruvalcaba and I. Last week, I went 11-3, and he went 12-2, so he actually gained a game on me. My season record is 57-35, and his is 45-47. So he's got quite the climb, and unfortunately for him, he picked the Saints last night, and I picked the Broncos, so he's pretty much back at square one. Where he was, but we do have a few other differences throughout the week. Last night, I picked the Broncos to win 23-21. He picked the Saints to win 27-13. So we're starting it off once again in London. This is the last of the London games. We have the New England Patriots at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 4.5-point favorite. Both of these teams are terrible, so that means it actually should probably be a pretty decent game. I think the Jaguars are the better team of the two. That's why I'm leaning towards Jacksonville, but I'm going to keep it real, man. This is just trash on trash crime this weekend here. I feel bad for London, you know. You tend to get the shitty games or the shitty matchups or the shitty teams, but at least you've had a couple of pretty decent matchups this year and over the years. But this is just awful. This is like we're sending you the worst product basically that we have to offer you. I mean, the only way this could have been worse is if it was the New England Patriots versus the Cleveland Browns and we send you that asshole Deshaun Watson to watch. Like, that would have been the only way I feel like this game could have got worse. But anyways, I'm going with the Jaguars because they're the better team. But I'm not going to lie. If the Patriots win, I will not be shocked. But I got Jacksonville winning 24-14. Simon also has Jacksonville winning 23-20. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. The Seahawks, to me, are starting to become the Seahawks that I expected them to be. You know, they started off the season real hot, one of the undefeated teams, looking like a squad that could potentially win their division. And now I feel like they're back down to earth. They're making a lot of mistakes on the offensive side of the ball. They're turning the ball over quite a bit. And then defensively, it's just it's just kind of a crapshoot with this team. They don't really have a solid identity. Now, the Falcons don't really have an identity either. They're kind of a team that's still finding their way. But I think overall, the Falcons are the better team. And offensively, Atlanta's very explosive. If they start going, Seattle's going to have some issues catching up. And pretty much Seattle, these last couple of games, have been playing catch-up. It's been like a right-out-the-gate the opposing team comes right out the gate and scores a bunch of points, and then there they are, left trying to get out of this hole. And they come close, but they fall short. And I feel like that's going to be the case in this one. I've got the Falcons winning 31-24. Simon also has the Falcons winning this one 24-17. And then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Buffalo Bills. Right now the Bills are an 8.5-point favorite, and that to me says it all because the Titans are trash. And Buffalo just gained Amari Cooper in this past week, so this is a perfect game for him to try and, you know, fit right in with Josh Allen. And I will say, Amari Cooper is the perfect receiver you want to just trade for in the midseason. This has happened with the Cowboys. When he played with the Cowboys, he just tends to fit in everywhere he goes. And you give him a good-ass quarterback, which Josh Allen is, I think this is a great game for Josh Allen and Amari Cooper to get acquainted, and I wouldn't be shocked if Amari Cooper goes off in this one. I've got the Bills going off regardless, 38-7, and Simon also has the Buffalo Bills going off in this one, 31-6. Then we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Right now the Bengals are a 4.5-point favorite. Joe Burrow has never won in Cleveland. I'm kind of surprised by that, but I think he's going to break that barrier this week, just because Cleveland is terrible. And it's really just, you really watch Deshaun Watson on this offense and you're like, what is with this guy? I mean, it's not like he doesn't have any weapons. He just looks like shit. And defensively, they're not what they used to be either. So I actually kind of feel like this is finally going to be the game for the Bengals where they just have an absolutely dominating game from start to finish. I have the Bengals winning this one 37-13. I just think offensively, the Bengals don't really have an issue. It's their defense that is having the issues. But this is a good team to get right against. So I've got the Bengals winning big 37-13. And Simon also has the Bengals winning 27-20. Then we have the Houston Rockets. We have the Houston Texans at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 2.5-point favorite, and this game was real difficult for me to choose. Both of these teams are coming in hot, and I look at them, and they are both complete teams from top to bottom. They've got the quarterbacks. They've got the coaching staffs. They've got the weapons on offense. They've got stout defense, and they're pretty good on the special teams side of things as well. I'm only leaning towards Green Bay in this one, mostly because they're at home. I tend to give you the home field advantage if it's kind of one of these coin toss games. And, I mean, like I said, both teams are coming in hot, so it's not like either team's desperate and really needs a win. I'm just looking at this one being a very good game. Green Bay Packers defense, very, very underrated. Nobody talks about this defense, and they get the turnovers like no other. I feel like that might end up being a factor in this one. Just because while the Houston Texans offense has been explosive at times, it's also had their bad moments. And I just kind of feel like we might see just one of these, maybe like the Texans might be on a last game-winning drive attempt, and then maybe the Packers get an interception or a fumble and are able to seal the game in that kind of fashion. That's kind of how I see this one turning out. So I've got the Packers winning 27-24. And this is one of the disagreements between Simon and I. He has Houston winning in overtime 30-27. So we both look at this as a close game, and I would not be shocked either way. Like I said, I'm mostly leaning towards Green Bay in this one simply because they're at home. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 3.5-point favorite. The Dolphins have just been looked terrible since Tua Tagovailoa went out. I mean, they weren't looking that great prior to him going out, but ever since he got injured, this team can't get it going, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there's always been questions about their defense, but the offense has always been able to just come out and score a lot of points. And apparently you can't just plug in any quarterback and just throw everything to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, they still have the plethora of weapons out there on the offensive side of the ball. They just can't get it going. So obviously Tua plays a huge role in this offense and how they get it going. The Colts, on the other hand, very weird wild card team. Defensively, they're okay. They've had their moments, but mostly they're just a middle of the road defensive team. Offense, they've had their moments as well. But Richardson's coming in this week back at the quarterback position, but they won't have Jonathan Taylor. So who knows what we're gonna get? But I just look at the Dolphins as they have nothing going on, whereas the Colts have had their moments. They've had their good wins. They're also at home. So I've got the Colts winning this one 20-10. Simon also has the Colts winning this one 26-17. Then we have another headbanger, the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Vikings are a 1.5-point favorite. Both of these teams coming in hot. The Vikings are coming off of a bye week, so they've had plenty of time to rest up and kind of just see what the Lions got going on. And the Lions are coming off of a huge, dominating win over the Dallas Cowboys, and they just opened it up. But I look at the Lions and I go, this team looks like they're just getting stronger as the season wears on. And the Vikings, no real issues with them either, but I just kind of feel like this is one of those games where, to me, the Vikings are kind of, they're due for that loss. At some point, the undefeated team always loses at some point. And you kind of want them to, just because it takes the pressure off of you. You don't have to hear that undefeated talk anymore. So I'm leaning towards Detroit in this one. Like I said, they're coming off of that big win. And it's not just that win. I mean, they really have been progressing, and offensively especially. They've really started to put together offensively. And so I feel like this is going to be the battle of a great battle between Detroit offense and the Vikings defense, because the Vikings defense is just amazing this year. They are just killing it. And so I think it's going to be a battle between the two, but I just feel like Detroit's just going to get the better of them. I feel like Detroit's just going to control the ground game as they do, and I think they'll just do enough defensively to get the win over the Vikings. I've got the Lions pulling this one out 27-24. Simon has the Vikings winning this one in a close battle, 31-28. I would not be shocked to see Minnesota win this one, but for some reason, my gut's just going towards Detroit. Like I said, offensively, they're really starting to get better each and every week. And last week was just a huge confidence booster, I feel like, for them. And while the Vikings are coming off of that bye and they've had time to kind of rest and get things going, I just look at Detroit as a team coming in hot and strong, and I think they're going to get the win in this one. Then we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Right now, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. Both of these teams are pretty terrible. The Eagles are less terrible, so I'm leaning towards the Eagles in this one. It is a division battle, so I'm kind of expecting it to be a kind of close matchup, especially because just the Eagles, they are very blah on the offensive side of the ball. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, they go from being one of the most dynamic offenses kind of before their fall off last year. They spent like a year and a half being just this, you know, freaking Hurts would just be wheeling and dealing all over the place, and then he could run. And then the tush push isn't even really as effective as it used to be anymore. It's just a very, very weird Eagles offense to me this year. So I don't think they're going to blow up the Giants, especially because the Giants on the defensive side of the ball are actually very freaking good. They're one of the top teams in the league. They're top five in sacks. I believe they're either second or third in sacks. They're really fucking good on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that's going to end up being an issue for the Eagles. Although I think the Eagles, just the better team. The Giants have shot themselves in the foot in basically every game that they've played this season. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do it again in this one. So I've got the Eagles winning a close one, 21-14. Simon also has the Eagles winning this one, 35-27. Then the afternoon games, we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. Both of these teams are just really trying to overcome the injuries. The Raiders just traded away Devontae Adams this week, so they kind of got that headache out of the building. But I don't think that really matters anyways, because the Raiders offensively are just awful. They don't have shit going on, and they just don't look good. They just don't. There's really nothing good about this team other than Max Crosby, and he can't do everything for them. Rams, kind of in the same boat, but at least they have Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is still playing at Matthew Stafford levels where he could just annihilate any defense that he's going up against, even without weapons. So I just kind of look at this one as being a good game for the Rams. I feel like they're going to get right in this one, and I think they're going to blow out the Raiders 31-17. And Simon also has the Rams winning this one 28-20. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the Washington Commanders. Right now the Commanders are a 7.5-point favorite. I think that's a lot of points. Carolina, not a good team, but they actually can score. And so I actually think this is going to be a close one, but I think Washington's going to dominate this one from start to finish. I just feel like Carolina is going to be playing catch up and making it interesting for the most part. But Washington, I feel like, is just going to have the dominating factor in this one, just because, I mean, they played Baltimore well last week, even in that loss. And Carolina, they just have nothing going on. They don't have any talent. They don't really have any spark. They just are really an awful team. So I've got Washington winning a close one, though, 28-21. And Simon doesn't believe in his Carolina Panthers this week either. He's also got the I almost called them the Redskins, the Commanders winning 27-24. Then we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the Niners are a 1.5-point favorite, and they actually have quite a few injuries, even beyond the usual. It looks like their backup running back, who's been just killing it this season, he may not play in this one. Then Debo, he's also battling through his injuries as well. It's looking like he's going to play. I mean, it's kind of actually looking like a game-time decision at this point, but they may be missing some key players in this one. But for some reason, I don't know why, my gut just says San Francisco in this one. Kansas City, to me, yes, they are 5-0. Yes, they are the defending two-time champs. But they just, other than their defense, their offense has been awful and atrocious. So I feel like this is going to be a defensive game. But I think the Niners' offense is more explosive. And so they're going to get the better explosive plays in this matchup. And even though Andy Reid has an amazing record coming off of bye weeks, I don't usually take shit like that into account, because numbers are numbers and numbers don't win the fucking game. So who the fuck cares? But I just am leaning towards San Fran in this one. I've got them winning 27-20. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be a defensive battle. I would not be shocked if one or both of these defenses scores a touchdown or two. I wouldn't be shocked if this is a very sloppy game offensively. Like I said, I feel like the Niners are just going to have one or two more big plays on the offensive side of the ball that's going to put them above the Chiefs in this one. So I've got San Francisco winning. And Simon also has San Francisco winning this close one, 24-17. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the New York Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now the Steelers are 1.5-point favorite. I was leaning Jets in this one even when I heard the matchup. Then the Jets traded for Devontae Adams earlier in the week, so then that made me lean more towards them. And then the Steelers did the stupidest fucking thing this week. It looks like Russell Wilson is going to be starting at quarterback this week. Why would you do that? This team, this Pittsburgh Steelers team, obviously is riding for Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields, obviously not blowing up opposing defenses. He's not, like, killing it, obviously. But I don't think any of us expected him to kill it, you know, put up, like, all these insane numbers. But he's getting wins. He's got the respect of his teammates. And it kind of looks like he's getting better as the season wears on. And I'm sorry, y'all, but Russell Wilson, he's kind of looks washed, in my opinion. He hasn't really proven that that's not the case with him anymore. So what's going on with the Steelers in that move? And I just am like, whoa, that to me fucks up the team morale. And I just think I was already leaning Jets. And as soon as I read that, I'm like, what? That to me just torpedoed everything for the Steelers. Offensively, the Steelers are not a good team. But when you do that at the quarterback position, and like I said, the team likes Justin Fields. You could tell they've wanted Justin Fields to be the starter since training camp. You could just tell that. You don't need anybody to say it. You could just tell by the way they're playing, by the way they rally for the dude. You could just tell. And I'm not trying to diss Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl, okay? He's been that dude. But he hasn't been that dude in like 4 or 5 seasons now. And Russell Wilson is not that dude that his teammates rally around. That's also a proven thing. Not saying that the Steelers teammates ain't gonna like him. I don't have any insider information, of course, but I just judge by that kind of shit. Like when you see them rally towards a quarterback and then play for somebody, I just thought that was a really random move. So that sealed it for me. I think the Jets are going to win this game. I think they're going to be happy to have Davante Adams on their offense, not only because he and Aaron already have a rep together, but he's going to open shit up for the ground attack. He's going to open shit up for the other receivers on the team. And it's just going to give Aaron Rodgers, because, dude, it doesn't improve the offensive line in any way, shape, or form. That's the problem with the Jets. So at least Rodgers now has a guy who he could just toss the ball to real fucking quick and have a shot at doing something here and not fucking completely falling down and slipping in the middle of the fucking field when you could potentially set your team up in game-winning position. But so I've got the Jets winning this one 21-10. And Simon is going with the Steelers in this one, 23-20. Now, I would not be shocked if the Steelers win. It's just for me, I was already leaning Jets, and then just that quarterback change. I mean, they haven't 100% announced that Wilson's going to be the guy, so who knows? That could change, but it's been looking like Wilson's going to be the guy this week, and I just thought that was weird because, I mean, you're winning. Why fuck it up like that? It's just very odd move, so we'll see what happens, but I just thought that was weird. All right, so let's move on to baseball. Let's go ahead and talk about ALCS Game 3 last night. That was the best game of the playoffs so far. The fucking best game of the playoffs between the Guardians and the Yankees. So the Guardians are just dominating this game all the way through. They've got the lead. Heading into the 8th inning, it is 3-1. It's just really like the Yankees are just struggling. They're not getting anybody on base. You know, Aaron Judge hasn't really got going. He got the home run in the last game, but who knows if that's going to get him going or if that's just one of those fluke deals. So here we are in the 8th inning. Aaron Judge comes up to bat and hits this nice home run. I mean, it just boom out the park. And you're kind of staring, is this out? Is this out? And it goes out. So he ties the game up. It's 3-3 here. And then Giancarlo Stanton comes right up behind him and hits another home run. So Yankees are up 4-3 in this one. And you're like, holy shit, this is crazy. It's the whole tide of this game just turns on a dime. And like I said, that was Stanton. Stanton is just killing it in these playoffs. I mean, don't be surprised if the Yankees go to the World Series and win it all. Do not be surprised if the MVP is Giancarlo Stanton, because this guy has been money this postseason. But we get to the 9th inning. Yankees bring in their closer, and he's been having a phenomenal Weaver. He's been doing great the last month of the regular season heading into these playoffs. He was obviously their guy. He took over for Clay Holmes, who was just kind of falling apart as the season wore on. So we're in the 9th inning. 2 outs. All the Yankees got to do is get this last out. They got a guy on first base, and a rookie comes up to bat. Goes by the nickname of Big Christmas, and his real name is John Kenzie Noel. And this guy is a big-ass motherfucker. And you know how you could tell this guy's a big-ass motherfucker? Because this bat in his hand looks like a little twig. That's how big this dude is. And he's a rookie. Walks up to the plate, and he's had his moments this season, ever since they brought him up. And I kid you not, he crushes this home run. It was one of those home runs where the second that bat hits that ball, it's gone. It is out. And this game is tied up due to a rookie. So we head into the 10th inning. Yankees aren't able to get anything going, but the Guardians are. And good old Fry, who's also had a phenomenal postseason, hits this. He smashes a home run. That was another one where it was like, as soon as he hit it, you're like, oh, bye, done, game over. And that's what happened. Freaking Guardians got the win 7-5 in a just crazy back and forth affair towards the end there. And the Yankees are up 2-1, and game four is tonight in Cleveland. So we'll see what we got. I mean, it looks like the Yankees are just completely dominating. I mean, honestly, the Guardians got lucky in last night's game. It should have been Yankees are up 3-0, but that's baseball, man. That is baseball. And when Big Christmas walked up and just, boom, crushed that, he saved their season. But I think he's only just he's not stopping the bleeding at all. I think they're still bleeding, and I think tonight is going to be another loss for them. As a matter of fact, I think the next two are going to be losses for them, because I actually did pick the Yankees in five, and I wasn't going to be shocked if they swept them out, but I just kind of feel like the Yankees have dominated them for the most part, especially when it comes to scoring. The Guardians have left so many guys on base. It's just nuts. They've had so many times where they've loaded the bases and they just can't get it going. And Ramirez still unable to get it going. So other than that big 9th and 10th inning that they had last night, they really have been quiet. They really haven't been a good team. And the Yankees have been the better team. Speaking of the better team, in the NLCS, the Dodgers have easily been the better team over the Mets. As a matter of fact, every game so far has been a blowout by either winner. Even the last one that the Mets won, that was a huge blowout by them. But so game three, Dodgers completely dominated, 8-0. Walker Buehler, he's spent most of the season injured. And then when he came off the injury list, he's pretty much struggled. This was his best game of the season, and he pitched a solid, I think it was 4 or 5 innings. So he came in there, did great, and then the bullpen backed him up. Muncy, Hernandez, Otani, they all had a great night. Then game four was last night, and they absolutely obliterated the Mets yet again, 10-2. Otani had an amazing night. Betts had an amazing night. This bullpen pitching amazing as well. And right now the Dodgers are up 3-1 in this series, and they could close it out tonight in New York. Now, hopefully the Mets don't embarrass themselves too bad, but they really need the win or else they're going home. But this one, the Dodgers have just been completely dominating on the offensive side of the ball, and the Mets just really haven't been able to get it going like they've been able to do these last couple of weeks, actually this last couple of months of baseball. But you never know with this team. You can't really you can't give up on them until they actually lose. So they could pull something out of their ass tonight, but they definitely got to do it, that's for sure. Now let's move on to my NBA season predictions and get to the playoffs and how I think the playoffs are going to turn out, and ultimately who I believe is going to be the champion when it's all said and done. So the Western Conference, I have the number one overall seed being the Dallas Mavericks. As I said when I was discussing the Western Conference last week, I just think the Dallas Mavericks, I feel like are going to be the best team all season. I think getting Klay Thompson is huge. I think that just gives them championship pedigree. It gives them a guy who, if they overlook him and they just focus too much on Luka or Kyrie, you got Klay over there who's capable of making big shots when it matters the most. It doesn't matter that he's older, that he's lost a step, that he's coming off of those couple of really bad injuries that set him back over the years. To me, that doesn't matter. I think he's going to play the perfect role for this Dallas Mavericks team, and he's going to fit exactly what they need. And I just look at the Mavericks as being the best team in the league overall this season. Then at number two in the West, I have the Denver Nuggets. I just think, you know, they haven't lost a step either. They are still the same championship-level team. Jokic, still the same championship-level, MVP-level type player. So I don't expect the Denver Nuggets to lose a step. Number three seed, I have the Los Angeles Lakers. simply because I think Anthony Davis, he's played a great preseason so far, and as long as he stays healthy, which is always a big question mark, but I mean you could say that about a lot of guys. And then you've got LeBron, who still is playing at a high level as well. I think they still need somebody, and it's sounding like more and more that they're going to be making a trade at some point before the trade deadline for another probably center more than likely, which would be a huge help, which I think is going to happen anyways. So I got the Lakers right there at three. I think they're just going to be a competitive team throughout the season. Then finishing at number four in the Western Conference, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. Healthy Zion equals a, I think this is going to be one of the best New Orleans Pelicans seasons in a long time. I feel like they're going to be one of the top teams. I think they're going to finally play some consistent basketball as long as Zion is healthy. Then at number five, I have the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, they had an amazing year last year. I expect them to continue it on into this year and only get better and build off of what they did last year. Then at number six, I have the Phoenix Suns. They have Kevin Durant. They have Devin Booker. They have Bradley Beal. These are three of the top shooters and scorers in the league. It's just their drawback is definitely going to be on the defensive side of things, which is going to cost them some games in the end. But I still think they're going to be a a playoff-level team. Then at number seven in the Western Conference, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think they made a mistake by trading Karl-Anthony Towns away. I do like the addition of Randall defensively, but is he going to be able to avoid injuries? I doubt it. I don't think he really fits into this team other than the defensive side of the ball. I don't think that this scheme really fits his offensive style. So I think they're actually going to take a step back because of that trade of Karl-Anthony Towns. And then finishing in eighth place in the Western Conference, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they're going to be a much better team than last year just because now Ja, he's had a very quiet offseason, which hasn't been the case in a couple of seasons. You know, he's had those years where he had the off-the-court drama with all the gun shit and all the stupid stuff and then getting suspended, comes back from the suspension, tears his ACL, and now he's healthy Ja now. I mean, if you really look at it, Ja used to be one of the projected point guards to basically take over as like the next Steph Curry, the next guy who just takes the league by storm. And I still think he's capable of that. I don't think he's I still think he's a good player. I feel like that's going to translate with this Memphis Grizzlies team, who was decimated by injuries again last year as well. Because also they went after Marcus Smart. They traded for him in the offseason. And I felt like he was going to give them a spark, but then he got injured. So I feel like he and Ja are going to complement each other well and be a better and improved team from last year. I don't think they're going to be a championship level team, but I think they're going to be a much better team. Then in the Eastern Conference, I have finishing number one overall, the Boston Celtics. They are the defending champs. They haven't lost a step. They, as a matter of fact, they're just going to be gaining guys as the season goes on. And I mean, what can you say? They're just a damn good team. And the Eastern Conference has never, it's been years since the Eastern Conference has been a powerhouse compared to the Western Conference. So I just think the Celtics are obviously the best team in the East. Then at number two in the Eastern Conference, I have the Indiana Pacers. I feel like they're actually going to be one of the top teams this year. I just, for some reason, feel like offensively they're going to be one of the best teams out there. And like I keep saying, the Eastern Conference really not that tough of a conference, so I think it's going to be pretty easy for them to dominate. Then finishing in third place, I have the Miami Heat, just a very talented, well-run organization who have not lost a step. They still have Jimmy Butler. They've got Hero. They've even got Kevin Love, who's really had quite the resurgence since he went over to Miami. Then finishing in fourth place in the Eastern Conference, I have the New York Knicks. I actually think their trade for Karl-Anthony Towns is perfect. I think he's going to fit well in this team. I think he's going to fit well with Jalen Brunson. And I actually think the Knicks are going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference and actually one of the most surprising teams in the Eastern Conference, because I actually think they're going to play consistent basketball. They haven't reached a level where I'm like ready to obviously put them above the Boston Celtics in the rankings here. But I do think they're going to give everybody a run for their money in the Eastern Conference. And I think they're going to make things very, very interesting. Then finishing in fifth place, I have the Philadelphia 76ers. Like I said, when I was breaking down the Eastern Conference, until this team gives me a reason to buy into them, I'm not doing it anymore. I've picked them a couple of times to win it all. And every time they just can't avoid the injuries, or just they can't put it together, or they just have somebody acting like a little bitch who's just like ruining their season. And so it's just, there's always one thing or the other with them. And until they actually put something together, I can't put them as a real legitimate championship level team. But I do think they're going to be a good team this year. I do think they're going to make noise. And like I keep saying about the Eastern Conference, it ain't shit compared to the Western Conference. The Western Conference is going to be battling it out every single night, whereas the Eastern Conference, I feel like, is going to be pretty much run by Boston and Indiana, and then everybody else is going to be kind of just shuffling around with those two. Then at number six, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. As I said about them, I feel like they're an old team who's going to be battling through the injuries throughout the season. They've got enough talent to keep them in the conversation, but I just feel like it's going to be a really long season for them just battling through the injuries because they have so many old guys. Then finishing in seventh place, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just have never been able to put it together. They've got a lot of talent, but until they put it together, I can't really believe in them. But I do think they're going to make some noise. It's just once they hit the playoffs, they're going to be one and done like they always are. And then finishing in eighth place in the Eastern Conference, I have the Orlando Magic. They added in KCP, which I think is a great move for them because this gives them the veteran presence of a guy who's played on a championship team, who's been playing, he's actually been a very solid player everywhere he's gone. So I think he gives this young team the veteran leader that they've needed and to keep them there in that playoff conversation talk. So my first round in the Western Conference, I have the Dallas Mavericks versus the Memphis Grizzlies. I have the Mavericks winning that matchup. Then I have the Denver Nuggets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. I have the Nuggets winning that matchup. Then I have the Lakers versus the Phoenix Suns. I have the Lakers winning that matchup. And then the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. I have the Pelicans winning that matchup. First round in the Eastern Conference, I have the Boston Celtics versus the Orlando Magic. Boston winning that matchup. Indiana Pacers versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Indiana winning that matchup. Miami Heat versus the Milwaukee Bucks. I took a little upset in this one and went with the Milwaukee Bucks in this one. And then the New York Knicks versus the Philadelphia 76ers. I have the New York Knicks moving on in that one. Then in my conference semifinals for the Western Conference, I have the Dallas Mavericks versus the New Orleans Pelicans. I have the Mavericks moving on in that matchup. And then the Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And since I'm a Laker lover, I got to go with my team. So I got the Lakers winning that matchup. Then in the Eastern Conference semifinals, I have the Boston Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks. I have Boston winning that matchup. And then the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks. I have the Knicks winning that matchup. So my Western Conference finals matchup, I have the Dallas Mavericks versus my Los Angeles Lakers. Going with Dallas. As I said, I think Dallas is going to be the best team in the league this year, and I think they're going to prove it come postseason. And then my Eastern Conference Finals matchup is the Boston Celtics versus the New York Knicks. I went upset in this one. I'm going with the Knicks in this one because, as I said, I think they're going to change the narrative this year and finally be that consistent level team. Like I said, I don't know if they're able in the regular season to keep up with Boston, but I feel like they're going to do something come playoff time. And so I've got the Knicks winning that matchup. So my NBA Finals matchup is the Dallas Mavericks versus the New York Knicks. And I have the Mavericks winning it because, as I continue to reiterate, I think the Mavericks are going to be the best team in the league this year. I think they're going to build off of what they did last year. You know, they went to the finals last year and they really, really turned it on in the second half. So I just kind of look at the Mavericks as being a team that's just going to get better. I love the move with Klay Thompson. And I just look at them as just going to be a very solid team. And like I said, same with the Knicks. I think they're going to be a good team this year as well. I think they're finally going to have a level of consistency where we're like, holy shit, the Knicks are for real this year. But I think they're just going to fall short against the Mavericks because I just think they're that much better. And we're going to get to see Luka go off. Wouldn't be shocked if he's the MVP. But I mean, shit, you never know what's going to happen when it comes to that race. So that's how I feel like the NBA season's going to shake up. Dallas Mavericks versus the New York Knicks with Dallas on top. So we'll see how that goes. We've got basketball literally starting next week. As I said, I will not be here next week. I will be in Disneyland having a good-ass time, smoking a bunch of legal-ass weed, and also enjoying the games as well because I do check them out. Now, I won't be as into them because I'm going to be in Disneyland. That's what I'm going to be focused on, the rides and all the food and all that shit. But I will have my eye on whatever's going on if the World Series, because the World Series will be starting next week at some point. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll see where we're at when I get back from Disneyland. So remember, I will be out all next week, but I will be back on Monday, October 28th. So enjoy the next couple of weeks of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you on October 28th.